Okay, welcome back. Gemar Chetima Tova, or whatever the proper greeting for the day after Yom Kippur is. Next week on Chol HaMoed, I won't be able to teach. I have a different teaching commitment exactly at this time. So we will not meet next Tuesday during Chol HaMoed, but everybody will be busy on their tiulim and doing other things and, you know, coming back from Ein Gedi or Great Adventure or whatever you do. So we won't have Shir next week. We are on Daf Vav Omud Aleph. Still not so much Agadah as much as etymology. So really, David, this is your... I was a little late in the day when the idea occurred to me. It wasn't fair to call on you last minute, but I really should have turned the Shir over to you. But you can tell us how much of this is as our local etymologist, who's the guy that studies bugs, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
So Gemara says, you know, there's two different types of rain. Yore umalkosh. Where do we know these words from?
Kriyat Shema.
So what's the yore and what's the malkosh? Tanu Rabbanan. There's a brisa that says, Yore shemore et habriot lahatiach gagotehen. Yore is from the same root as Torah. Yorucha, to teach. The Yore, the first rain that comes in the fall, we should be getting it sometime soon, hopefully not during Sukkot. The Yore instructs people to fix their roofs, latiach, to not to cement, to what's that action,
plaster.
To plaster your roof, right, to make sure after the long dry summer you want to have all the holes in the roof patched up so that when it starts to rain, so the first rain comes, you see where the holes are and you'll plug up all the holes in your roof before the heavy serious rains of the winter come. And it reminds you, it instructs you to bring your produce in, any fruit that's left out in the field, any produce that's left out in the field has to be gathered in before the heavy rains start. Whether it's fruit that's still out there in the field or even sheaves of wheat, bundles of wheat that are out there that haven't been gathered in before Sukkot, even though Sukkot is the Chag HaAsif. You could imagine there are people that left some things out. Or if you'd left fruit out to dry, you know, their custom was to use the roofs or other surfaces to dry fruit out, which was necessary for the winter. Right? Because during the winter, there really isn't that much fruit available. So the whole process of making dried fruit was done during the summer months to put aside... For as if you take apricots or figs or dates and just leave them laying around, they're going to go rotten. But if you dry them, so then they last a very, very, very long time, and you can enjoy those dried fruits at least throughout the winter. You know, that's of course Tu B'Shvat. Right? Tu B'Shvat is the holiday of eating fruit. But what's the fruit that we eat on Tu B'Shvat? What?
New fruit.
Well, today,
no,
today
not
we,
new fruit.
No, today we eat dry fruit. I mean, today we... traditionally, we eat dry fruit. Now we tend to get more fresh fruit available, but...
In other words, today we live in a world because of the ability to ship fresh produce around the world same day. And because of greenhouses and because of all types of other things, you can have fresh fruit all the time. Still here in Eretz Yisrael... Thank God we don't have fresh fruit all the time.
No, we do. We have different types of fresh fruit. The winter is citrus and...
No, in other words, in America, you go into the supermarket in America, and you can't tell what season it is based upon the fruit that's available. Because strawberries are out in the market 12 months of the year. If they're not locally produced at the Jersey farm near your house... They're shipped in from Argentina or from Chile or from wherever it is, adding copious amounts of CO2 to the environment as it gets shipped across the world to your market. Now, or it's grown in greenhouses, you know, someplace closer, and tastes exactly like it. In other words, if you go into the shuk, if you go into Machane Yehuda during strawberry season, and you taste this, not usually the first week that they're available, but at the height of strawberry season, you get the platonic ideal of a strawberry, the taste of a strawberry. I remember once being in America, like in the dead of winter, and I'm a big fan of strawberries and raspberries and all these things, and buying a thing of strawberries, and each strawberry was like, you know, it looked like it was carved out of plastic and tasted like it was carved out of plastic. Because it was not grown according to its natural cycle. But in the greenhouse, you can force a plant to do anything. So if you go into Shuk Machane Yehuda, and if we take you there from a sensory deprivation tank, you should be able to tell what month it is based upon what fruits are available. If they're apricots, it can't be the winter, right? If it's figs, it's later than strawberry. It's a month later than strawberry season. Right? So, in the ancient world, there were really no fresh fruits that were available in this part of the world during the summer. So they would dry the fruit out to have it during the winter. That's why traditionally on Tu B'Shvat, you ate dried fruits because it's the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot. But why is Tu B'Shvat the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot? We discussed this last year when we learned Rosh Hashanah. Well, in what way is Tu B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot?
For the
Chot Maser and so on. For Trumot Masrot. You wanted line of demarcation between last year's crop and next year's crop. Because when you're taking Trumotu Ma'asrot off of the fruit, when you're separating the tithes, you can't separate the tithes of one batch from fruit of a different batch. If you have a pile of apples, and apples are a kind of fruit that can store a long time, over the season, right? If they're kept rather cool. I remember like in the fall, in America, we'd go apple picking. Because I guess that's what you do. And we would have these bags of apples and we'd leave them out in the garage. And because the garage was cold all winter. And those apples would stay for months, right? They wouldn't go bad. But most fruits are a little more delicate and only last outside of refrigeration. They only last a couple of days. And even with refrigeration, they only last at most, a week or two, or maybe a drop more. The reason that Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot is dafka because there's no fresh fruit available. It's the point where there is no fruit on the... If Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot was the middle of July, when every fruit tree is full, May, June, July, you'd never be able to keep track of what's on either side of the divide. But if you choose Tu B'Shvat in the dead of January, when there is no fresh fruit on the tree, you with very rare exception, so then it's very clear to demarcate which crop is the previous year and which crop is the next year for all of the purposes of Truma, Maaser, Shemitah, and Kedusha, and all of those other things. Remember, a year from now, we have Shemitah again. So that was about bringing in the fruit. In October, it starts raining. It's to remind you to bring in all that fruit from the thing. And V'lasot Kol Tzarcheihem, to do all the things you need to do to get ready to winterize your homes and your life. That's what Yoreh is. Yoreh is Moreh. It teaches you to do all of these things. The winter is coming. Davar Acher, Shemarveh, or Shemarveh et haaretz umashke et tahom. No, it's not from the Shoresh of Yud Resh Aleph to instruct. It's from the Shoresh of Resh Vav Aleph. To to saturate, to satiate, right? And that, the yore, is because it's marveh, it saturates the land, and it waters, the waters go down to the deep, the water gets to the aquifer, right? It goes down into the dry land that's been dry all summer, and starts to fill up the deep waters. Shne'emar, tlameha raveh, nachet gedudeha, birvivim timogagena, timcha tivarech. It's a posek in Tehillim that the rivavai, the rivivim, the water overflows with great abundance, and it drips down into the tlamim, into the furrows that you dig in the field, and it makes the land wet and muddy and soft with the rain, and that's the source of the bracha tzimcha tivarech. The growing things get a bracha through that rain. So it's not yore, is not from the language of to instruct, it's from the language of to saturate. Right? Davar acher, yore sheyored benachad ve'ena yored bezaf. And a third interpretation, yore, it falls gently, and it doesn't fall with anger and with force and with destruction. O eino yore ela shemashir et haperot. No, so the Gemara says maybe not. Maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe it's called the yore because it's morid. It causes the rain comes, and any fruit that's left on the tree gets knocked off. It falls off. Umashtif et ahilanot, umashtif et ezraim, and it washes away any seeds that were planted that hadn't sprouted yet. And it washes away umashtif et ahilanot, and it washes away the trees. Whenever there's the first heavy rain of the winter, there's always those videos from down by the Dead Sea, down by Ein Gedi. You know that all of the rain here, right? If the rain falls on my house, it drips down over many hundreds of years into the wadi below us. And if it falls on David's house or Dr. Benzev's house or Steve's house, slightly over the ridge of our hill, it trickles down all the way to the Nachalim, and down towards the Dead Sea. So you see those pictures of the Afikim Banegev. You know that what we say in Shir HaMalot, that the Geula will come Ka'afikim Banegev. What are those strong streams in the Negev? So you ever see those videos? I'm sure we could find a video of it. Let me see if I can. Right, like out of nowhere. I don't know, these are just songs. It's like what they call a flash flood. Here, look at this. Here. You should be able to see this video. No. This is cookies. Hold on. You see this?
We see the cookies. I'm going to go get a snack now.
Look at this. This is what it means, ka'afikim banegev.
They're rather close, considering you know how fast these come.
Yeah. So the rain that falls on our side of Midbar Yehuda makes its way slowly, slowly, slowly down to the Dead Sea. And when the first rain comes, it can suddenly be very violent.
Steinlitz, by the way, says that actually is related to that last interpretation. It's related to Yiriyah, the shooting.
Oh, so that's the Gemara is going to introduce that idea itself.
Well, in any case, that's what the linguists seem to be saying is the most likely etymology of Yoreh, is it actually does come from Yoreh to shoot.
Right. So the idea, so maybe Yoreh is not a nice thing. Maybe it means it's this very harsh type of thing. Umashtif et ilanot. Talmud lomar, malkosh, ma malkosh. So that's what this is saying. That's what Yoreh is from violence, from shooting. Like a yiriyah is a shooting of a gun. Talmud lomar, Malkosh, the rain that comes in the spring, the last rains, ma malkosh livracha af yore livracha. So it can't mean that yore. In other words, the Gemara rejects what David says is the actual etymology. Yore can't be a language of destruction. Why? Because yore u malkosh are both V'natati metar artzachem bi'ito yoreh u'malkosh. Well, they're rewards. So how could a reward be something that causes destruction? O'eno malkosh ela shemapil et ha'batim u'mishaber et ha'ilanot u'male et ha'saka'in. Saka'in is like is probably locusts. Right, the malkosh in the spring. Are you sure that that's a bracha also? Because what happens at the heavy rains that come in the spring? So that can cause your house to fall down. That can cause the trees to splinter. That can cause the locusts to come. Plagues of locusts generally come when? Well, you know, Pesach time, right? And even though the meteorology in Mitzrayim is different, but in fact, often the big plagues of locusts come in the spring and early summer. So there's an idea that the Malkosh comes, and that's what somehow wakens up the plague of locusts to come. So Malkosh might not be such a good thing. So that's why Talmud lomar yoreh ma yoreh levracha af malkosh levracha. So the Gemara rejects these etymologies, right, and says that yoreh and malkosh have to be for brachot. So you have to interpret their etymologies, their folk etymologies, you know, for positive things. V'yoreh gufa min alan. So the Gemara says, oh, in other words, it's like a game of chicken and egg. the Yoreh has to be something good because the Malkosh is good. So since they go together, so then the Gemara says Malkosh. Who says Malkosh is something good? Maybe Malkosh also brings bad things. No, Malkosh has to be good because it goes together with Yoreh. So the Gemara says, well, how do we know that Yoreh is a positive thing? Dichtiv. So it brings a pasuk. It brings a pasuk from Yoel that we saw last week. Uvnet Sion gilu v'simchu b'Hashem Elokeichem ki natan lachem et hamore litztaka v'yored lachem geshem more u'malkosh barishon. So this sounds like a good thing, that Hashem, the Bnei Tzion, the children of Zion, are happy and they're joyful, that Hashem gives the first rain, the Moreh, with chesed, with kindness, and he causes the rain to fall, the first rain, the Moreh, and the last rain, the Malkosh, Barishon. In that case, it was a situation where it hadn't rained all winter, and both rains came together in Nisan, but that's not necessarily a good thing in and of itself. But the idea that Yoreh and Malkosh, the first rain and the last rain, are positive things with chesed and kindness and beneficence, etc. Tanu Rabbanan, Yoreh b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan. So when do these things come? Let me make this a drop bigger. Here, you see we're by these two dots. Tanu Rabbanan, Yoreh b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan. The first rain comes in Cheshvan, which is in, a little less than 3 weeks from now. And the Malkosh, the final rain, comes in Nisan, Pesach time. Ata omer Yoreh b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan, o eina ela Yoreh b'tishrei u'malkosh b'iyar. Are you sure that it comes in those months? Maybe it comes... Sometimes it comes in Tishrei, which is the month before, and sometimes it comes in Iyar, which is the month later. So what's the question that what's behind the Gemara's question here? It's a little unlikely to talk about the arrival of rain according to a lunar calendar. The meteorology goes generally according to the solar calendar. And even though it's never exactly the same, but more or less it starts to rain in Eretz Yisrael in mid-October. So mid-October is sometimes the end of Tishrei, sometimes the beginning of Cheshvan. Right? When is Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan this year?
Good question.
Here, let me look.
Around the 15th of October.
Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan is October 19th. Right? So it's like more or less...
A few weeks.
What?
It's in a few weeks.
It's in three weeks from yesterday. 3 weeks from yesterday. Yeah. Right? It's 3 weeks after Yom Kippur. Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan is 3 weeks after Yom Kippur. Let's say that's more or less on time. What's on time? You know... Right, but it's more or less on time. In other words, if it's going to start raining, let's say in the dead center of October, so that would be the tail end of Tishrei this year. But there are, of course, some years where the Chagim are earlier relative to the solar calendar. So this question of when it's going to come, Chazal were aware that you can't really set a date according to the Hebrew months. Because the Hebrew months vary by up to 30 days on either side. So Talmud Lomar Bito Malkosh. Talmud Lomar Bito. So the Gemara says that the proper time for the rain is in Mar Cheshvan, but sometimes it comes out in Tishrei, but that depends on when things are relative to the solar calendar. Malkosh. Omar Rav Nehilai Bar Idi, Omar Shmuel, Davar Shemal Kushyotehen Shel Yisrael. A kind of folk etymology about Malkosh. Now, before we were talking about Yoreh. Yoreh either means to instruct, or Yoreh means to shoot. Meaning it's either a positive thing, or it's a kind of harsh thing. So what does Malkosh mean? So there's this folk etymology that's Malkushyotehen. It circumcises Mal, their she'oref, right? Their stubbornness, right? The rain comes and it kind of beats down their, you know, like this idea that mal levavchem, that Hashem will perform a kind of circumcision of the heart. And then speaking of circumcision here metaphorically, right, that Hashem can remove the stubbornness from the Jewish heart and personality if only he wants it. So here, Hashem can remove the koshi, the difficulty, the stubbornness of the Jewish people. How does that happen? So when the rain comes at its right time, when we see the bracha, when we see that we're getting what Hashem promised us for doing the right things, so then that softens us up, right? It makes us a little less stubborn. It makes us a little more appreciative. It causes us to do a little bit of tshuva. Debei Rabbi Yishmoel Tana, davar shemimalet fua bikasheha. The malkosh, the springtime rain, fills up the ears of grain. Right, malkosh mimale kasheha. The kash is like the stalk of grain. The stalk of grain is there from the beginning of its growth, but as the kernels inside begin to grow, so the ear of grain, like we think of like an ear of corn. Right? And as we think of an ear of corn, you think like when you get corn on the cob and it's covered still in the husk, right? So that's the same thing with wheat, right? There's this husk of wheat, right, which gets filled up with the kernels of grain, and it's the milui hakash, the filling up of the stalks takes place in the spring before the harvest. From that final rain. So that sounds like pretty good things. Either the Malkosh causes us to do tshuva, it softens us up, it softens up our hard heart, or it causes the stalks of grain to get really nice and full and fat. B'matnita Tana, and the Brisa says, Davar sheyored al hamlilot v'al hakashin. The malkosh comes down on the melilot, on the ears of corn, on the ear, not the corn, on the stalks of grain, on the melilot and on the kashin, on the grains and on the stalks. Right, and does the job. Tanu Rabbanan.
Just so you know, by the way, according to the linguists, none of these are the actual. They're all folk etymology.
What do the linguists have to say?
There's a root called lakash, which appears in
which means late.
Which means late, yeah.
Meaning it's the late rain. Yeah. And you're right.
And you're right. Shooting. They said
you're right. Shooting.
I guess it's like the initial shooting of the rain.
Right. Which the Gemara didn't, you know, kind of disfavor. The Gemara is like aware of it, but it disfavors it because it doesn't jive with the.
I don't know if Yoreh needs to, even if it's from shooting. I don't know if it necessarily has to mean a violent sense. It could just be, you know, this is the first shot.
Right. I mean, look, the Gemara could have interpreted shooting positively, like the shooting of the blessings of the rain. Or something like that.
In the video, we saw the water shooting down through the body.
Right, exactly. Okay. Right. But that, in other words, that's what it means. Kafikim baneg. What's the pasuk? No, what's the pasuk with kafikim banegev? The redemption will come. The redemption. What?
It'll become much faster than we anticipated.
It'll come boom. Right, that's another. That's like the famous midrash that you always say on the Tiulim up to Galil, the Arbel, right? About Rabbi Shimon Bechalafta is up on the Arbel and he sees the sunrise. He says, "Kachi gulatan shel Yisrael, betchila kima kima v'achar kach mitbake v'ole." Right. In the beginning, if you're looking at the sunrise, particularly if you have an elevated position, you can see the horizon in the east. First, it slowly, slowly gets light, and then boom, the sun comes up above the horizon, and it's broad daylight. That's the geula, right? So that's what the return of the Shivat Zion. Right, will come kafikim banegev. First, you're standing there. You're in the middle of some tiul in Wadi Kelt or in the Darja down by the Dead Sea, and suddenly you look on the ground and there's like this little tiny trickle of water, and the next thing you know it, boom! There's this flash flood of water that comes. That's the Geula, that's the Yiriya. So you could say that's the shooting, the blast of water, but Chazal knew how to interpret that in a positive way, right? They saw this kind of shooting of this torrent of water is a metaphor for the Geula. But for whatever reason, here they didn't want to do that. They thought it wasn't, even though David reports that's the actual meaning of the word. So here the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, another Braisa, Yorebe Mar Cheshvan U Malkosh Benisan, Ata Omer Yorebe Mar Cheshvan, O Eino Ela Bechodesh Kislev. So maybe it's not, maybe the Yore is not in Cheshvan, as we consider maybe it's in Tishrei. No, maybe it comes in Kislev, a month later, which is usually begins the end of November. Tamud Lomar Bito. No, so the proper time, in most cases, normally speaking, the first rain is going to come in Cheshvan. The last few years, we've had rain on Sukkot, which is altogether a siman klala, because it's not good for people that want to sit in their sukkah. Yore u malkosh, ma malkosh biito, af yore biito. Kevan shiatsa nisim v'yardug shamim, eino siman bracha. And if rain comes after Nisan, that's also not a good sign, because that will ruin the wheat that is already to be harvested out in the field. Tani idach, yoreh b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan divrei Rebbe Meir, v'chachamim omrim yoreh b'kislev. So Rebbe Meir says that the yoreh comes in cheshvan and the malkosh comes in Nisan. But the Chachamim say the Yoreh comes in Kislev. So man Chachamim, whose opinion is that? So Omar of Chista, Rabbi Yossi. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that the first rain comes in Kislev. Titania, Ezehi Rivia Rishona. What is the first set of rains that come? Habchira, there are three. Each set of rain has three different points. Right? If it comes on time, if it comes less on time, and if it comes late. Habchira, the debut of the rain, comes b'shlosha, on the third of Cheshvan. Beinonit, if it's a kind of average year, not if it comes early, b'shiva, on the seventh of Cheshvan. V'afilu b'shiva asar, bo. And sometimes it comes late as the 17th of Cheshvan. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shiva b'yudzayin uve'esrim v'shlosha. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the earliest it comes is the 7th. On average, it comes the 17th, and sometimes it can come as late even as the 23rd. Rabbi Yossi Omer b'yudzayin uve'esrim v'shlosha uve'rosh chodesh kislev. Rabbi Yossi says that it can come on the 17th, on average on the 23rd, and sometimes as late as Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So here's the opinions. Here are the opinions for Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi for when the earliest, the Bechira, the earliest arrival, the average arrival, and Afilu, the last arrival in a normal year. Now, of course, all of them are aware that sometimes even the latest date is missed. And as a matter of fact, this is the way that the Gemara is easing us into the idea of the main topic of the Masechta, which is what? The Ta'anit. We're on Daf Vav. We're on... What? Right, in other words, we're on Daf Vav. We're on Daf Vav of a Gemara that Pesach HaKol only has 31 dapim. Right? Really 30 and a half dapim. Really 29 and a half dapim because you start on Daf Beis. So we're already almost a quarter, we're 20% of the way through the Masechta. What's the one thing we haven't mentioned yet? Ta'anit Bechlal. We haven't discussed fasting at all. We've been talking about the weather. You know, they say talking about the weather is very boring. Well, it's all people talk about it. You can't do a darn thing about it. But we haven't started talking about fasting yet. It's the main topic in the Masechta. We're 20% of the way through. The Gemara is now easing us into this idea that all of these estimates can go haywire. They all knew, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, that sometimes it doesn't come on the 17th or the 23rd or even Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And then the question becomes, well, at what point does the red light go off? At what point is there a warning that something is going wrong? That is how you get into the topic of fasting. So Rabbi Yossi Omer of Chizda, halacha ka Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chizda says the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Amemar matne laha de Rabbi Chizda bahalishna. Amemar, who was one of the Amoroyim, he said the same thing as Rabbi Chizda, but he said it in his own way. He said it b'shlosha b'bar cheshvan sho'alina takshamim. Rabban Gamliel Omer b'shiv abo. Omer of Chista halacha karaban Gamliel. Right? You start asking for the rain on the 7th. Right? Now maybe that means that really the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Right? That on average the rain starts coming on the 7th. Or maybe it's like Rabbi Yehuda. That at the earliest the rain starts coming on the 7th of Cheshvan. But what's our, in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, when do we start saying, V'tein talu matal levracha?
The 7th of Cheshvan.
The 7th of Cheshvan, which this year is, well, it's a week after Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Right, 7th of Cheshvan. It's Motzei Shabbos. It's perfect. Motzei Shabbos Parshas Noach. It's easy to remember because Parshas Noach, you spend a lot of time talking about rain. So Motzei Shabbos of Parshas Noach is Or LeZayin Cheshvan. That's when we start saying Tein Talu Matar Livracha. Right, because that's the halacha that we start saying it on. Rav Chista says the halacha is Kerabban Gamliel. That we start asking for the rain on the 7th. It's not 100% clear whose opinion this aligns with. It's not 100% clear whose opinion this aligns with. Rav Chisda said the halacha is like, what does it mean, the halacha? It's like, you know, my parents, you know, before the era of the cell phone, where, you know, you got all of your news fed directly, so you could get it from the radio. You know, in New York, they had 10-10 winds. So you could get traffic and weather together on the ones. You know, it was like one of these news, radio news. So that at 12:01, you'd hear the traffic and the weather. And at 12:11, you'd hear the traffic and the weather. And at 12:21, you'd hear the traffic. They kept repeating it, you know, in these 30-second little sound bites of what the traffic and the weather was. You know, or you could watch the news on TV. So, like, my mother would rely on my father to tell her, what's the weather, right? So he would say, well, it's Channel 2 said it's gonna be cold tomorrow. So she would say, tell me what the weather was on Channel 4. I like that weather better. Right? What does it mean to Paskin? What does it mean to Paskin who the weather is like, right? And it's either it rained or it didn't rain. Right? It's not a psak. Like, to say, when Rabbi Meir says that the earliest it rains is the 3rd of Cheshvan, and Rabbi Uda says the earliest it rains is the 7th of Cheshvan, and Rabbi Yossi says the earliest it rains is the 17th of Cheshvan, what does it mean the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi?
Well, you need to know when, how long it's been since the rain, so you can know when it's fast.
Oh. But, in other words, either it started raining or it didn't start raining. So the question is, when were we expecting the rain? Some years it rains in Tishrei. It rained last year. It rained. We had a very heavy rain on Sukkot. It was actually quite a wet Sukkot last year, if you recall, right? In Yerushalayim, in I don't know about in Tel Aviv, I don't know about in Ranana, but in Yerushalayim, in Gush Etzion, it was a rather wet Sukkot last year, right? So what does that mean? That the halacha was wrong? No, it means it's a question of when do we expect the rain. And at what point after we expected the rain, if it hasn't come, is that a sign of something, right? At what point are we meant to, like, look inward and question what we're meant to be doing in order to fix the rain? Because if you live in a world of v'natati metar artzachem b'ito yore'u malkosh, right? Vaya im shemoa tishmuel mitzvotaya, right? If you listen to all the mitzvot, the rain will come. And remember what we said at the very beginning of this series of shiurim. What is rain? The rain should not be reported together with the traffic. Where should the rain appear? Where should the weather report appear in the Talmudic news report? Not weather and traffic together, but with the stock report, because the function of rain is directly tied in an agrarian economy that does not have a Nile. It's directly connected to our livelihood, right? That's why the bracha of Mivarecha Shanim is the bracha for Parnasa. Like, if you want to add in a little something for your own Parnasa in your Shmon Esrei, the bracha, that's the kind of category that holds that, is the bracha of Brechaleinu, which is about the rain and the weather. Because the rain and the weather is a barometer for how we're doing, you know, fiscally. But how we're doing fiscally is a function of how we're doing Klapei Shemaya. How we're doing in terms of, like, are we okay? Or we're not okay? Is Hashem happy with us? Is He not happy with us? Do we need to do more tshuva, or are we in a good position? So that's the rain. That's the story of the rain. Okay, next week on Chol HaMoed we won't have shir, I think, and then we'll pick up after that. So I wish you all a good Yom Tov and good health.
Oh yeah, thank you very much.